Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. We got with us our fearless producer, Katie Gallen. Got a full house today, Stone. Excited about today's show.
Hey, it's going to be a fun show. First up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Regional Sales Consultant Professional Services with Trinet. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Mr. Rashawn Johnson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Stone. Happy to be here today.
Well, Rashawn, that is a serious radio voice you got.
Oh, thank you.
We'll be asking you for some voiceover help a little later.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Trinet, can you tell us a little bit about how you're serving folks? What do you guys do?
Yeah, thank you, Lee. So I wanted to come on the show today to speak about some of the services that we provide surrounding our PEO services.
What is PEO?
Yeah, so PEO is a professional employer organization. What we do is we're a strategic HR partner for many of the small and medium-sized businesses around the country. We essentially have about 13,000 employees that we work with, employers that we work with, and they have about 325,000 employees all together. And we help them manage their HR services surrounding their payroll, employee benefits, 401k, investments, and risk and compliance.
So now, tell me if I'm understanding this correctly. I'm a small company. I don't know how to do all the compliance, and there's a ton of paperwork, and I could screw things up 50 different ways. Absolutely. And I can kind of call you guys. You guys take that hassle. My employees really are kind of going through your process and paperwork, and you're kind of responsible for them from that standpoint, even though they work for me.
Absolutely. You hit it right on the head there, Lee. And believe it or not, you can really screw it up more than 50 different ways.
You've counted. Yeah, you guys have counted.
Absolutely. There's at least 1,000 ways you can screw up out there. So essentially, absolutely, you hit it right on the head. We help employers that don't really have a place to go and don't know who to call in terms of their employee benefits, mm-hmm. in terms of their HR and all of the different laws. You know, the good thing is, no matter who's in the administration, there's always going to be a different administration, and that's just the world we work in.
Talking politically, so they could change the rules.
Absolutely.
Like year to year.
Absolutely. Our day to day laws change every day, and that's one of the jobs that one of the things our value props is, we help small business owners, no matter what the laws are, stay in compliance. The laws mm-hmm. will always change. And as a small business owner, there's no way you can keep up with the ever-changing laws. And that's what we're here for, to make sure you're in compliance.
And then when the law changes, there might be something like every employee has to sign some new document or...
Absolutely.
Right, or else then I'm out of compliance and then I can get in trouble.
Absolutely. And then one of the good things about Trinet and our value props as well is our technology. So anytime there's any types of new laws that takes effect, we send out those to each of the employees that work for these particular companies. So that way the companies are in compliance and the employees are in compliance as well. One of the new laws that just took effect was, you know, many people don't realize that year to year, you know, the tax laws change. The tax laws change. And one of the new tax laws that change currently, you know, pretty much saves you a couple of dollars on your paychecks than it did before. So, you know, we have to make sure that, you know, all of those people get paid correctly. All mm-hmm. of their W-2s are done correctly. All of their W-4s are signed correctly. And that their paychecks are, you know, absolutely correct each and every week.
So now when you're working with a customer, what is that kind of relationship? How does it work? So they're doing it themselves usually, or they have another provider and they're switching over to you?
Well, we never leave our customers alone. So they always have some place to go. One of the good things with Trinet is each client has what we call as a human capital consultant that's with them every step of the way. Yes, they can be completely independent if they like, and we do have an online option and an online portal for them to be self-sufficient, but we're always here when they need help. We give them all the tools that they would need to manage their day-to-day mm-hmm. business in the organization, but we're always just a phone call away.
And then if the employee has a question, does it go to the person at the company, or does it go to somebody at TriNet usually?
Good question. That's the whole point of, you know, bringing in the TriNet so that we can take the times off the business owner. So if the employees have questions, that they can come directly to TriNet for the answers and without, you know, boggling down the business owner time and things like that. And in many ways, we want to create the separation between small and medium-sized business owners and their employees. So we come in, we create that separation so they would feel more comfortable speaking with us in many situations opposed to going to speak to their, you know, their direct report.
Now, does the business that works with you, is there some benefits in that if you work with a TriNet, you can offer a larger amount of benefits and more stuff than they could if they were individually doing it because they don't have the buying power that you guys have?
Absolutely. You couldn't have said it better, Lee. One of the things that we do is we go to market with great scale and great flexibility. We give our clients flexibility and choice as well. We have one of the greatest and the largest marketplace out there in the PEO world, which means that many small business owners, their employees will get the same benefits that many of the employees that work for Fortune 500s receive. So whether that's the technology or the marketplace, say, for instance, we have a huge marketplace where the employers, their employees can go and get discounts off of Apple computers, laptops, Sprint, movie tickets, say, for instance, rental cars, that sort of thing, hotels. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of benefits. But the biggest value prop that we have is that we allow our business owners to really save on the employee benefits in their 401k plans.
Mm-hmm. So a small company, even a, you know, like a small company like ours, Business Radio X, we have 5 studios, you know, and we got a good thing going here, but we're not, you know, Coca-Cola, IBM. We could actually, through a TriNet, we could set up a 401k for our employees and, I don't know, for ourselves or some sort of employee thingy, Bobber.
Absolutely. So that would be that's a great question. So one of the things that we do is we take all of that off your hand. You just don't know where to go. Our 401k plan has about $2 billion in it. There's very, very low cost to a business owner and their employees in terms of investing in our plans. One of the great things that we do as a PEO is we pass that the bill to the employees, so they're only paying $6 per quarter, so about $24 per year to manage their 401k, which you don't find fees any cheaper than that.
But what a tremendous benefit, because I think folks, I've always worked for small boutique consulting firms back when I had a real job, and we didn't have 401ks or any of that stuff.
Absolutely, because oftentimes the small business owners just don't know where to go. They don't know who to call. They don't know that these people are out here and that they can, and their employees could have the same benefits as employees that work for Fortune 500s, the big Coca-Cola's, Home Depot's out.
Healthcare too, is there?
Absolutely, healthcare. We're actually Aetna's second largest healthcare provider, which means that we can go to market with greater flexibility than your, in scales of the economy, than your local broker can. We oftentimes meet with small business owners and their greatest concern are their employees' benefits. Well, you know, we can just do things that, you know, your everyday broker just can't because we have that much buying power.
Now, do you have a sweet spot on the type of companies that you work with? Like, is this good for restaurants or is it good for, you know, insurance companies? Like, what type of company? Manufacturing?
Absolutely. So at TriNet, we are actually the only PEO that verticalize our PEO, which means that we work with FinServ country, financial services companies. I work particularly with ProServ companies, which are professional services, marketing firms,
law firms, accounting firms,
Absolutely. I work with white collar companies that we put them on a white collar platform.
So then because of that, you can kind of specifically have benefits that are unique to them that they would like.
Absolutely. So for instance, if you're a restaurant, we'll put you on a pool, on our blue collar pool, that you could stay with other restaurant owners. And that way you're in the same pool people or with organizations that you are a part of.
So now TriNet is based not here in Atlanta, but you represent TriNet here in Atlanta?
Yep, I'm out of the Atlanta office. We're actually out of Silicon Valley, in California.
Okay, so you're out of California, but you have there's people like you all over the country doing this, serving the local market?
Absolutely. And we have Northeast, Southeast, Midwest, Southwest markets, and as well as a West market. Mm-hmm.
So there's somebody that's a regional person here in the Southeast?
Absolutely, and I'm the original person for out of the Atlanta office.
Okay, so now it's typically what's a day look like for you? Are you going knocking on doors and talking
Oh, absolutely. I you know, I get very creative. You know, I'm in sales, so I have to get creative about how I get in front of these business owners. So, hey, I get in front of them any kind of way that I can, knocking on doors. I host a lot of events. We partner with Regis, all of the Regis and the WeWorks here in Atlanta, Georgia as well. I work a lot with brokers in the broker community. So
in the commercial real estate?
Oh, absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. Commercial real estate. We get a lot of referrals from attorneys, corporate attorneys, that sort of thing that, mm-hmm. you know, are have clients that we fit their value.
I want to hear more about these partnerships with the Regis's and the WeWorks. How does that work? What's that partnership about?
Yeah, absolutely. So our partnership with Regis and WeWork are... Those are the startup companies, right? That's where all the startup companies are going to. They're going to the WeWork offices and Regis offices because they only need a small space,
right.
You know, one or two offices to start up. And that's where we want to get in. And that's where our message is best served with the startups. So we work a lot with startups.
So you work a lot with startups? Well, I guess based out of Silicon Valley, that's
absolutely.
The DNA of the organization, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, so we work a lot with startups and that people who just don't know where to go. Mm-hmm. And that's usually the startups.
And then, so what is the minimum size company you can work with?
Oh, absolutely. So Trinet is the only PEO that would take a company on at one, meaning you have... You may,
one?
Yeah.
That
yeah,
answers that
plan,
question.
Yeah, a group plan with
group one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'll take a group plan that with just one employee. And typically that employer is going to grow. You know, everyone starts at one right. or two. And, you know, in a year, they're up to 10. You know, that's just the way the economy is and how business works. You start off with one. And
now, do you have any stories you can share about a company you started working with that this helped them grow?
Oh, absolutely. I have several stories that I can share. One come to mind is a company called Seven Mindsets. I brought them on. They were a company that came on at about 7 employees. And mm-hmm. by the end of the year, I think they were up to like 13 employees. So they almost essentially doubled.
Wow.
And it's for companies that's growing. Their needs are changing every day. And those are the type of organizations that we love to work with.
But when you go in and take care of them early like that, they grow, everybody wins, right? The account, the partnership grows with you.
Absolutely. And that's good one of the you. Things that you know, partner with Trinet helps small businesses. You know, we give them employee retention. Because of the benefits and the package that we offer, you know, studies show and our data show that once an employee take on your benefits, your 401k, your health benefits, they're more unlikely to stay with the organization.
Right.
You know, if you're offering benefits and no one's taking them, then that may be a clue, you know, that A, they're not going to stay or they don't like the package. And if they don't like the package, then, you know,
they're going to be looking somewhere else.
They're going to be looking somewhere else. So it's better to change what you're doing in your package that you're providing opposed to having to, the productivity change over every 6 months.
Okay. I want to ask a little bit more about this fee structure because I thought I heard somewhere in the conversation that the employer doesn't necessarily have to take on the financial burden of the healthcare. That can be passed directly to the employee. The employee is just getting the benefit of a better rate because of the groups.
Well, for the 401k piece.
For the
401k piece. There is a certain level. So just to go back, if you're by law, if you have under 50 employees, you're not by law. You don't have to provide health benefits to your employers, your
right.
employees. If you're over 50, you do by law have to provide health benefits. Now, if you're under 50, where the small business... most small businesses are, and mid-sized businesses are, there's a certain percentage that if you're going to contribute to, there is a certain percentage that you have to contribute to. And that's usually about 70% of the lowest cost fund. So for instance, if you have 10 different, say for instance, employee benefit plans, And the lowest one is $200. And the most expensive plan is $500. Well, you have to take off, you have to provide at least 70% of that $200 match. You have to match that for your employees.
Got it. Okay.
But that's what, that's the value of you guys. You helped me navigate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Lee didn't know, I mean, you, you and I knew this stuff, but Lee didn't know
it was news to me.
Yeah, absolutely. We help out with the employees onboarding, that sort of thing. So we're there every step of the way from A to Z, any from onboarding to termination, any of your employees needs. That's what
because
we're there
for. Ultimately, they're a TriNet employee, right? You're the ones that are handling their
Ultimately, they're going to be the employees of the business owners. We're just there to handle their administration. Now, technically, they are employer of TriNet, but only for the sponsorships of the benefit plans. Mm-hmm. We sponsor the benefits for the organizations, and so we have to bring them on under our EIN number, technically. But you say we're not there to get in your employer's, your business. The value, you manage your day-to-day. We're just there as a resource. In fact, you even, you know, decide whether we come or stay or not. So you have complete control over your organization right. and the employers.
Okay, so I can't call employees. You and say, Katie's been coming into work late a lot. I wish you'd really sit down with her. That's not your thing.
we would say, hey, we would give you direction on where to go and how to deal with Katie, and we'll provide those tools for you. Sorry, Katie.
So now for you, what's the most rewarding part of the job?
You know, the most rewarding part of the job, I would say definitely meeting new people. You know, in sales, you know, you got to get up early. You have to stay late. And the most, the best part of my day is meeting the business owners is out there. A lot of cool companies out there. They're doing amazing work and amazing things. And I love being in the know, you know, what's new coming, what's out there that I didn't know about it. Mm-hmm. And really learning about these different types of businesses that's in the community. I really love that aspect.
So what's your favorite part beyond that?
Being on this radio show today. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You get to do cool things like this. So I appreciate it.
And then if somebody wanted to learn more, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, so they will contact me personally. My name is Rashawn Johnson. I'm in the Atlanta office. You can contact me, Rashawn.Johnson@TriNet.com, or you can give me a call on my cell. Hey, 678-463-2700. Call me up for any of your PEO needs. I'd love to hear from you.
And then TriNet.com is a website? Is that
absolutely,
right?
And that's our website, TriNet.com.
TriNet.com.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show.
Thank you so much, Lee. Thank you, Stone.
Hey, stay with us a little bit. We're going to visit with one more guest.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you so much. I'd love to stay around.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us with Brightlink IP, Chief Technology Officer, Mr. Joe White. How are you, man?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
So what'd you learn in that last segment?
You know, we have a PEO, and they're a great product for growing business. So I think that we'll have to look at what TriNet has.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, Joe, you're with Brightlink, and you've been around them for a while, right? You were there.
I put the first server in the first round.
Right? You know that feeling of being in the small organization with hopes and dreams.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, we started from two people, and you know we've got two people and no revenue to 30 people and
a bit of revenue.
Bit of revenue.
So now, can you tell us a little bit about Brightlink IP? How are you serving folks?
Sure. So we are, we started off as a wholesale telecommunications provider. And that was back in 2009 when the industry was a little bit different. Some regulations changed things. But we really started off serving other large CLECs and telecommunication providers. So our core customers were, and still are, the Sprints of the world, the mobile providers that are out there. As well as folks like Level 3 that just merged with CenturyLink and who you think is a traditional operator.
So now, how do you guys stay ahead when it seems like there's changes all the time in that world?
Yeah, so our industry is interesting. Much like TriNet, we're heavily regulated as a CLEC in 28 states, and we're also a FCC licensed wireless provider. So we have the FCC that we have to look at, those regulations, as well as state and local. It's important to understand where things are changing and to stay ahead of that. One of the things that we've done in particular is focus on more of the over-top providers. So the folks that are enabling applications and putting, you know, a voice widget into something.
Mm-hmm.
That's really come from adding a software layer onto traditional communication. So less dial tone and more API driven, where you can actually use an API to make a outbound phone call. You can use an API to send and receive text messages. And that all gets back to a traditional phone network. But we create that unique software interface that allows you to do it without having to have that backend knowledge.
Now, you have a new voice product out, LiveView.
We do.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so that's another way we really try to drive value and do something different from our competition is by having LiveView, it allows customers to log in and see their calls in our network. So they can see, you know, how many calls do they have up, so what parts of the country, what the success rate is. You know, we have different standards and acronyms for it. But at the end of the day, it's making sure that they have the quality, that they've got, you know, things like packet loss we can monitor for. They can chart that out and they can also look at it historically. So by pressing a button, they can say, that's great, I've got 20,000 calls up on the Brightlink network, but what was it yesterday? What was it 2 weeks ago? And what was it, you know, a year ago? So they can look and make sure that that's great that there's calls up, but what does it look like historically? And is that where things are supposed to be?
And then when you have that information, how is that actionable?
So within the portal, if there's something that you don't like, or there's something that you have a question about, you can actually click a button and that'll engage one of our engineers. And the thing that's nice about that is when we first launched the product, it's one thing to say, hey, I've used this filter to get this chart and here's the view that I had. It's another thing to click a button and they see exactly, you know, what you're referring to. So mm-hmm. it takes a whole step out of the customer engagement.
So now we use on occasion like conference lines.
Sure.
And then sometimes it sounds perfect. And then sometimes it sounds like it's like real squeaky and you're not getting a good...
That's when it's not going over our network.
Exactly. The other
nicely
people...
Nicely teed up, Lee. If you guys planned that before the show.
But so how... Aren't there a lot of fingers in the pot there that can impact the quality in any of any given call?
There are. There's a whole lot of bits and pieces. And it's interesting when you look at an actual phone call and all the different networks that it touches to go from one to the other. So if you think about it, you know, going from a Sprint cell phone to an AT&T cell phone, you would think that Sprint would just send the call to AT&T. That's not what happened.
Like,
yeah, that's not what happened. So you know, there are other people that are involved in that phone call. And you know, that's why, you know, people get mad at their carrier. It's not always their carrier. It could be another person in the chain. It's never us. Right.
It's never, but we've established that.
Right. But there are. There, and the things with conference calls, we've got great conferencing customers.
Mm-hmm.
That we do inbound and outbound for. Part of our network that makes us unique is the footprint that we have. We can provide someone like a conferencing company with DIDs and you know, local markets all over the country, as well as globally. So we've got, you know, phone numbers in 74 countries right now. So if you are a conferencing provider and you wanted to, you know, have a local dial-in number and it would be 75 countries, we could provide that for you easily. And we actually have
And what's the benefit of having that local dialing number as opposed to them calling?
Well, so if it really in the US, it doesn't really matter anymore, right? Because calling a long distance number, right, with your cell phone, it's all included. But if you're that conferencing customer and you've got someone from the UK that needs a call in, they need a local in-country number that they can call.
So a UK number. And then they're just making a local call, and
correct,
then it's going through the network, and it's really a long distance call or an international call.
Depends on where the end is, right? Uh-huh. It could be really anywhere. With a lot of our conferencing providers, what we'll do is home the media or the actual voice to whatever country they're in.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're working with customers and you're trying to identify what the pain points are and how to match up the solutions you guys provide, what does that conversation look like?
It really depends on the vertical. So we touch a lot of different enterprise customers along with our carrier customers. And it depends on, you know, the look and feel. Large, you know, top 100 law firms are different than someone that's in the healthcare space. But we try to tailor the solution that we're giving to that person in that vertical.
Now, when you're working here, you're based here in Atlanta?
We are, yeah. We're based here in Atlanta.
Now, what does the Atlanta kind of telecom tech scene look like from your perspective?
Atlanta's good. You know, there are, it's a good talent pool. It's a good tech culture. we are, you know, you've got Birch here and CBON, you know, they merged. Right. So there's some other, you know, similar companies here in Atlanta, which makes it good for hiring and good for, you know, finding some local business. But we are so nationwide and really so global that, that the majority of our customers and,
they're not here in Atlanta.
They're not here in Atlanta.
Right. Well, how is Atlanta seen from the rest of the country, the rest of the world, when you're talking about Atlanta as a tech hub?
I think it's received very well. I mean, I people pay attention to companies that have relocated their headquarters here, you know, outside of tech, right? You know, mm-hmm. you've got Mercedes right across the street, you know, Porsche and that. I think that they're good flagship brands that make it make Atlanta look favorable for tech. But you also have some great tech startups that were out of here as well. So we spent a lot of time working with folks in Silicon Valley, and Atlanta has a great, great perception.
You're a chief technology officer for a technology-centric company. I liken that to like the first cliff diver. How do you, you must be one of the bravest souls on the planet. I mean, everything comes back to you, doesn't it?
For better or worse.
The buck stops with Joe.
No, it really does, right? This is on you, all this stuff.
So we've done a good job as we've grown, kind of dividing off operations. But at the end of the day, things like network and customer service, you know, at the end of the day, you know, engineering becomes part of that.
It never gets smaller, does it?
It doesn't get smaller.
It gets bigger.
And the customer service issues only happen if the network's not working right. But yeah, it's, you know, I'm responsible for product, for engineering, and for the network.
I want to send June with a camera and or Katie with microphone to just follow you for a day. Your world must be very interesting, if not chaotic. Just tell
That's
me
good.
About
it's
a, day
chaos.
In, a day in the life of Joe. Like, what are you going to do tomorrow and the next day?
You know, I'm actually in town all week, so I'm gonna take advantage of that and get as much work done as I can. You know, one thing that I do quite often is travel a lot. I'll be in San Diego all next week with a partner out there. But yeah, it gets tough. When I'm in Atlanta, it's all about, you know, going through the punch list of items that you know, need to be completed and helping our engineering staff with getting those done and finding the best way to do it.
Now, we had in here the other day one of the leaders of the GSMA, the mobility, mm-hmm. and they were talking about 5G coming. Sure. And there's a lot of talk about that. Is that something that impacts you? Is that something that your organization is paying attention to? And because there's ramifications of when that rolls out?
You know, we support mobile providers. We do from a couple different ways, for the messaging and the voice piece of their business. It's interesting that the more and more mobile providers are more of a marketing company, right? They've sold off their mm-hmm. towers to someone else to manage those. They take a lot of their network and they get someone like Brightlink to help them with the voice or the messaging piece. At the end of the day, they want to sell handsets and data plans, mm-hmm. and you finance your iPhone through them. That's mm-hmm. that's their best case scenario. So as 5G rolls out and that increases the user experience, that just helps folks in our space.
So that's good for you guys.
Oh, it's very good. And it's good for the consumer as well. You know, the more bandwidth someone has in their phone, that really starts to knock on the door of the cable company and everyone else.
Now, do you see it rolling out as quickly as they anticipate?
I don't. Yeah. And, you
know, well, you're the one that would see it, right?
Yeah, I mean, no one knows what 5G is. There's all sorts of trials. We own a piece of spectrum that's from 3.5 gigahertz to 3.75.
Brightlink does?
It's a open spectrum. So we have a license in it. Uh-huh. T-Mobile's doing some trials in Las Vegas in that spectrum for 5G, but then AT&T has a whole nother spectrum that they want to try. Mm-hmm. And they're doing that in San Antonio and a few other places around the country. So no one knows what it is and what it's going to look and feel like. So until we really know what that looks like, it's hard to tell what the speed of deployment will be.
Right. So there were this talk about at the Olympics, someone's playing around with it, and
yeah. So there's a lot of areas where AT&T and others have done arenas and mm-hmm. sporting events. You know, they've
so fought. They can just narrow it down to just one little footprint like sure. that and yep. play around.
They can. Yeah. So I mean, what they do is they put different antennas on different towers, and that, you know, only serves the locality that you can wow. broadcast to. The problem is I don't have a 5G phone. You don't have a 5G phone.
So no one can use it.
No one's really using it other
except
than
them.
Other than the folks that actually have a 5G capable right. phone that are part of the testing.
And then when that rolls out, it'll be, like you said, more bandwidth. That'll enable me to watch more Netflix on my phone when I'm driving.
Yeah, right. That's what the mount's for in the car, right? It makes the Atlanta commute.
Now, how's it going to impact the customer?
Exactly that, right? If you look at the data adoption rates and the things that really drive the consumer, it's having, you know, fast, easy access to, you know, your email, Facebook, social media. But yeah, at the end of the day, if you look at the bundling that those wireless companies have done with, you know, you get free Netflix and free
Spotify,
right? Hulu, whatever it may be. That's really what they're trying to do, is get that user experience in the phone. And drive the content over the
and
phone.
It'll be noticeable speed improvement if this can be rolled out as they envision.
I mean, 5G, if it is what all the specs are, you should be able to throw away your cable modem.
Wow. So that's pretty dramatic change.
Yeah, it sure is. Now, do you interact with your Salesforce at Brightlink at all?
Every day.
Talk, right? The reason I'm asking is just this strikes me as kind of a competitive environment, and I'm just wondering what their world is like.
It's very competitive. We've positioned ourselves well and give them a lot of products on the messaging side, on the voice side, because of some of the things that we've done as a network. So not just having the CLEC licenses and having that physical footprint, but having that wireless license, it allows us to do some interesting things with messaging that other companies don't have the capability to do.
And you're coming up with your own products to differentiate yourself even more.
Yeah, and that's the big piece, right? There's a lot of carriers out there. There's a lot of folks that can, you know, do some of the whiz bang stuff. We own it. You know, we built it. So one, we control the product, we control the price points, and it really allows us to position ourselves differently
and to better serve your customer.
Yeah, at the end of that, I was going to get to that same point. You know, when a customer comes to us and they have a problem, it's not us going to somebody else and peeling back the onion,
right?
You know, for better or worse, it's our problem. So it puts egg on our face, but we also can fix it.
Right.
So there's no one else to point the finger at. You know, we can go and take action.
Okay, I still can't let go of the CTO thing. This would scare the heck out of me. Do the CTOs in Atlanta or in the country, do y'all get together and hang out and console each other and share best practices and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, there's...
support group. I mean, it's like having alcoholic parents or something. I don't know. You guys really,
there's a lot of stress. You guys are under a lot of pressure from organizationally.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit different with us because we are a very tech focused company, and that's the product that we're out there selling. And there's a lot of CIOs that support organizations.
Right.
Being the, you know, person in charge of technology for a technology centered company is certainly a bigger bullseye.
But you guys, is there like a CIO thing, a CTO thing, where you guys have Margarita Mondays and you just hang out?
There is. Unfortunately, I haven't.
He's too busy.
I haven't given
all
it
over the place.
Time that I need to. But yeah, there definitely is in Atlanta. There's a lot of great. There's a Georgia Technology group, but there's all sorts. We actually have it's Atlanta Telecom Professionals ATP.
Now, have you had the benefit of some mentors throughout the years that have helped you, or do you have a person that you call like when you have a problem that even Joe doesn't know?
There are no problems that Joe doesn't know.
See there what this guy has to carry on his shoulder?
Yeah, there is. A CTO of a company here in Atlanta, PGI, their conferencing company, a guy by the name of David Guthrie. He was their CTO for 13 years. He's now an advisor to Brightlink, but certainly he is still somebody that we go to for when Joe doesn't know.
Now, what about the next generation? Are you working with students and helping them and like kind of showing them the ropes? Or do you have the opportunity to be a mentor?
Yeah, we would love to. And, you know, as far as the student population, we are always looking for, you know, folks that want to be involved in technology and want to have that kind of learning path for internships and for, you know, mentoring.
Now, we also have in here a lot the women in technology folks. Is telecom an industry that is primarily male?
Yeah, I would say so, unfortunately.
Uh-huh. So is that something? Because the women in technology folks, I'll do a little pitching for them. They're looking for companies that would be open to having women or young ladies that are in college kind of job shadowing just to see what it's like in those worlds because they don't have the access.
That's great. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. We'd love to.
Well, good thing for you. Our producer, Katie Alley, is the host of the Women in Technology show, and she'll be over with them in a week or so, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, we can connect you with the executive director there. If that's
that'd be great. Absolutely. We're always looking for talent.
Yeah, I'm sure that's something that's never going to go out of style.
Yeah.
Good, talented young people to get involved in this. Now, do you believe this is a growth industry? You're only getting bigger, right? This is as more bandwidth, as people expectations are higher and higher. That's good job security for Brightlink.
It is. And you know, we have a lot of U.S. customers that are global in nature, right? Mm-hmm. So if you look at, you know, when you go look something up on the internet, you know, they've got a voice product. Our core customers are all global. You know, we're expanding globally. This year we'll be launching a data center in London that'll serve the Western Europe customers that we have. And then after that, 2019, it'll be Asia Pac. So then we'll have something to service our customers in Asia and the Pacific Rim.
So you're trying to control as much of the process as you can while staying in your lane?
Sure. If you look at like a conferencing company, we want to make sure that we're as close to the end user as possible. You know, they've got customers that are in Western Europe. They have facilities in Western Europe, and we can't serve them well in the United States. So by having switching architecture and systems over there, that allows us to do that.
And so that's what it's on your roadmap going into 2018, 2019, just more of that, more expansion globally.
Yep. More global expansion.
All right. So if somebody wants to get a hold of you and learn more about Brightlink, what's the best way?
Brightlink.com. Make it easy.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Yeah, thank you both for having us.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton, our producer, Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.